Okay, tonight is Thanksgiving Sunday, so we're asking a few people, three people, to come and share their stories tonight. So I'll be sharing a few things in between to spice it up a little bit, but the whole focus is on Thanksgiving. And I've got a bit of a cold, so if my head is a little bit, then if I talk rubbish tonight, then just it's the cold. Okay, so just relax. I got confused this morning about something, but it's all good. Okay, so Thanksgiving, we want to look at the power of Thanksgiving and specifically look at it from a different angle in terms of trusting God to see our problems and our trials and our challenges in a different light. So that's also when we're going to have some stories being shared, things that people have been through and how God turned it for good. Okay, let's say it. God is good. And He's better than what I think. Yeah, He is. Some said He's gooder than what you think. And I know that's not correct, but it still works. It's gooder. He's gooder than what you think. The English people are freaking out now. Still true. Technically, linguistically not correct, but it's still true. He's gooder than what you think. So anyway, so there was I heard the story. This is 15 years ago was 9/11, the airplanes that crashed into the Twin Towers in New York. And I was listening to someone sharing a story about this. It just so spoke to me. And there was a couple, a Christian couple, that was supposed to be on one of those planes. And they missed the flight. That's a good flight to miss. Or a good crash to miss, actually. So anyway, so this Christian couple, they missed the flight. The aeroplane that they were in crashed into the Twin Towers. And the dad of the guy, the Christian guy of the couple, he was obviously upset and trying to find out, is my son on this plane? Did my son die on this plane? And he was phoning around and he found out he's not on the plane. And they spoke over the phone and they were just so thankful. They were so blessed that they weren't on the plane. And then this dad is a retired fireman, or was a retired fireman in New York. And so he told his son, I'm going to go and help. They need all hands on deck. There's a lot of people that need help. So they're going to go and help there. Or he's going to go and help. Anyway, so the fireman dad goes to the Twin Towers, goes to help people. And then he dies when the building collapses. And it was a tragedy. I mean, obviously, not just losing dad, but the worst is that the Christian couple, they were obviously Christians, but the dad wasn't. The fireman dad was anti-God, anti-church, and they've been praying for him for many years, and he died. And so it was an absolute nightmare for them. And then about 6 months later, there was a knock on the door for this couple. And there was another couple standing there with a small baby in their arms. And they were asking, is so-and-so, are you so-and-so? And they said, yes. And they said, the lady said, I want to tell you what happened on that day, 9/11. She was very pregnant at that stage. She was working in the Twin Towers. And there was this fireman that carried her down the flights, but long way down. And all the way down, as he was carrying her, she was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with this guy. All the way down. Amen. And when they came to the bottom floor, this fireman fell on his knees and committed his life to Jesus. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Then he ran up again to go and find other people, and then he died. But isn't that amazing? That from our perspective, that is just a tragedy. But if we had all the info, if we could see the whole picture, we would see the goodness of God manifesting. You see, death for the Christian is not a tragedy when you know Jesus. It's just being promoted into eternity. It's something to celebrate. So our God is good. He's wonderful. He's powerful. But our perspective, will define or will determine whether we walk in light or whether we walk in darkness. You see, we don't have control over our circumstances, but we do have control over our perspective. We do have control on what's happening in here and in here. And I've over the years, and you know, I just realized that the enemy of our soul, his mission is to get us to look away from God. Is to not look into the goodness of God. The mission of the devil is to get you and me to look away from God and to look at everything that's wrong and everything that's all the problems and all the issues. And when he gets us to look away, we find ourselves descending into darkness. I'm sure we all have experienced that. Looking away from the goodness of God, looking at the issues and the problems and the challenges, and then we find ourselves going down a staircase into darkness. And so I want to share this evening just a few keys for us to get our focus right. So I want to read this verse, Psalm 16, verse 18 to 9. It says, let's read that together. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. But the key, the starting point is, I've set the Lord before me. I've set the Lord always, say always, always before me. Because he is at my right hand, because I've set the Lord before me, because I look into his goodness and into his glory and into his love, because I've made my perspective right, therefore, I'm dwelling in his presence. He is at my right hand, and I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, not because there are not trials and challenges, but I shall not be moved because God is at my right hand, I'm standing. And therefore my heart is glad. Who wants to be glad? Who's tired of depression and darkness on the soul? You know, it takes me about 5 minutes to be depressed. 5 minutes, flat. Just focus on the negatives, focus on the bad. And you descend into negativity. It's incredible how quickly that happens. And so the psalmist is saying, I've set the Lord always before me. And so, I mean, we've been building, or not building, but renovating, and in a sense, well, minor renovations, just moving into a new house. And it's just been crazy busy, you know. And I've not been spending as much time with the Lord as I've been wanting to. And I did still have a quiet time in the morning, but it was not, you know, I like to spend time in the presence of God because it recalibrates me on the inside. And everything's different. I look at life different. I'm anchored. I experience the presence of God. I'm able to overcome any challenge because my focus is right. But over the last 2.5 weeks, it's not been that great. Until the beginning of this week, I started to make more time for the Lord. But I realized in that time, the previous 2.5 weeks, how my mind and my thoughts were continuously going onto negatives. Negatives, 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 negatives. And then to experience the almost like the darkness that came to rest on my soul. It's no fun. It's no fun. And maybe I was just experiencing what the normal Christian experience. I don't know. But it shouldn't be normal. Christianity is dwelling in the light of God, dwelling in the presence of God. Nothing shaking you, nothing moving you. Yeah, there are problems, but I'm looking into the glory. And so I've set the Lord always before me. I have this picture. It's like taking a lampstand, like a standing lampstand, taking a lampstand and putting it right in front of you. I've set the Lord always before me. I'm going to look into his goodness. I'm going to come with thanksgiving in my heart. I'm setting the Lord before me. Then his glory comes and he lights that lamp. The light has been lit. And then everything else looks different. Because you're looking by the light of His glory. You're looking at life through the light of His glory. Everything looks different in the light of His glory. You cannot see problems in the light of His glory. You only see opportunities. If you're looking at a problem and you're depressed and negative, you're not looking, you've not set the Lord before you. You've not set the Lord before you. You're not looking at it through the light of His glory. It's impossible for God to look at something and be depressed. It's impossible for God to look at something hopeless because He's the Almighty. He can change any circumstance. He can turn a nation around. He's not depressed. So if you're looking at a problem and you're only seeing a problem, you're not looking from the light of His glory. And I'm like refusing to continue to allow the negatives to become my lampstand. Because that's what we do. We put other things before us. The wrong things. And it's not the glory of God that lights that lamp. It's different stuff that lights the lamp. And all we see is problems, issues, negatives. And it's not a good space to be because darkness comes and sits on our rests on our souls. So thanksgiving is one of the keys to set the Lord before us always. Okay, so I'm going to get back to that. I'm going to ask Kobus Kotze, come brother. He's going to start off sharing his story. Let's give him a hand.
Thank you. For those who don't know me, I'm Kobus Kotze. You already said that. Okay, I've written everything down because I tend to get lost and I don't have a clock. Ach, I do have a clock. 6 minutes again. All right, morning. Good afternoon. Yeah, good evening. We moved to East London in December last year after I've been retrenched, actually voluntary retrenchment. The company was going down, so we got the message. Actually, God gave us a message. It's time to move on. I just didn't know the move would be to East London from Northwest. God actually closed all the doors down wherever and opened all the doors open to East London. So here we are. We took our furniture. We moved down here with our furniture on a trailer in a friend's yard, staying in guest houses for 4 days. Not even having a house, not even having a work, no income, nothing. No, don't know what's happening next tomorrow. After 4 days, we found our house. I started opening my own business from the ground up. My wife started searching for a church and getting the kids settled in school. At that time, thank God, my daughter always hits the jackpot by getting a pastor's son for a friend. And again, it happened again. So little Vian, he became my daughter's friend. And my daughter doesn't eat very well. She rather play than eat. So Vian told his mother, he doesn't think that something is right at home because there's no food for Isabella to eat. So my wife got an invite for a coffee. Well, everything said and done after that, the coffee turned out to an invite to shofar. Great. Well, I've been in and out of church all my life. And I've backslided, I think, the most of all. Yeah. I knew what it was for us. Since we came to shofar, I gave my life to God again, as I have done before. Like most young men, I was mixed up in alcohol, drugs, everything that you can name it. I was mixed up in it. And after retrenchment, it just got worse. I was like post-alcoholic. But my life has changed since I've been at shofar. Yeah. In April, my life changed forever when I got my first major heart attack at 38. Doctors told me that God still had plans for me as I should have been dead, lying in high care for 48 hours in shock with a blood clot going through my heart. I could only hear the prophecy given to me the day before my heart attack, and I knew God still needed me. It was my longest 48 hours of praying and arguing with God, why and how can this happen? after everything I received, a four-way bypass on 19 July, that's about, 9, 10 weeks back. And here I am standing, already working for about 4 or 5 weeks, back at work, running my business. Thank God. But I knew that all of this was only for one thing, and that was for the glory of God. After 4 days ago, as of today, I received a scripture. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. My son, do not make your heart hard against the Lord's teaching. Do not be made angry by his training. For those who are dear to him, the Lord says sharp words and makes the sons in whom he delights undergo pain. Hebrews 12, verse 10. For they truly gave us punishment for a short time, as it seems good to them, but he does it for our profit, so that we may become holy as he is. I thank God for bringing friends on our way and planting us in shofar for his glory. With all the support and prayers, the operation was a walk in the park. Going in theater with no stress, no fear, my recovery even better. As for my business, since I learned how to give, like my tithing and just give, God has blessed us in many ways and opened so many doors, and I praise God for that and for opening my eyes and mind and heart for tithing. Thank you.
Awesome. Now, for me, what was amazing with them, with Corbus and Hanukkah, is like they were just never complaining. Through everything they went through, they never accused God. God, why are you doing this to us? Type of thing. They were always thankful. They were always declaring the goodness of God. I was amazed. I was like thinking, oh, I really have to encourage them now. They were like, no, God is good and God is with us and he's faithful. And I believe that Thanksgiving connected, got their perspective right the whole time. God is good. And so, the week before Encounter 3, which was in April, Kubus was in hospital. I visited him and I prayed over him. And the Lord gave me a word for him. As I was praying for him, I just felt God. And this is before the heart attack. That was like he just had heart pains and things. And I had this word that everything's going to be fine. The Lord's going to give him a new heart. How about that? A four-way bypass, but not just a physical, but a spiritual heart. That's what God has done in him. And so that was beginning of the week, and then we had Encounter 3, I think. And he was in my group at Encounter 3, and on the Saturday morning, he was in massive pain. He couldn't sleep the previous night, and a lot of things are happening. And he was in my group, and they said, "Man, let us pray for you." And so I prayed for him, and when I prayed for him, all the pain disappeared from his chest. And then the next morning, he had a big heart attack, etc. But the doctors were saying like he was having a heart attack over the whole weekend. He should not be alive. The whole week, he should not be alive. So I'm thinking like, you know, what if they weren't plugged into community? What if he was like, "I'm coming to Encounter 3. Yes, I'm in the hospital now, but I'm coming. I want to be there." You know, it was just amazing. And I really believe God touched him. You know? And you know, God's ways aren't always our ways. But he is good and he's faithful. Okay, so what are you holding on to? What are you holding before you? What are you focusing your thoughts on? What are you focusing your mind on? What are you looking at? Are you looking at problems? Or you're looking at God himself. What is the lampstand that is enlightening your whole life? Because that's how it works. Whatever you're looking at will either give you light or either give you darkness. It will influence your whole perspective. And the Bible speaks about this. It says that if you have a good eye, a healthy eye, then that is the light within you. But if your eye is dark, if your eye is bad, then how dark would it be if the light within you is darkness? a bad eye, like a corrupted eye. You can only see the negatives. You can only see the negatives. You can only see the negatives. So, I think it's on the screen. In the light of God's glory, every problem is transformed into an opportunity. Okay? In the light of God's glory, every problem is transformed into an opportunity when you see it from God's perspective. There are no problems from God's perspective. There are only opportunities. What is that opportunity? You must ask the Lord, what is that opportunity? What is the opportunity right here? In what way am I going to grow in character? In what way will you get glory? In what way are you going to turn this around? You know, if Quibus didn't go through all the stuff he went through, it wouldn't have been a good story. Okay, so everything's been fine since birth. That's not a good story. But it's a good story if you come from that background and then you have the heart attack and you have the financial challenges and then the Lord comes through for you. That's powerful. That releases hope. That is the opportunity. But now, on the other side of it, in the light of complaining and negativity, every opportunity is transformed into a problem. In the light of complaining and negativity, every opportunity is transformed into a problem. And I believe there's an assignment against the hearts of believers to get negative, to get complaining, to focus on what's not right, what's not working. And then the result is every opportunity is transformed into a problem. I'm sure we've all met those people. They find a fault in everything. They're negative about everything. Because the light within them has become dark. And everything's an excuse. If the country wasn't so bad, then we could do something. If there weren't so many issues in this industry, then we could do something. Do you know that there's this book written about companies that says those who went from good to great? Secular book by, Jim Collins. Secular book that studying the companies, the best companies in the world, the same industry, say for instance, would take a pharmaceutical company, same industry, same starting point, say 20 years ago, same everything, foundational start. The one sort of just went on average, the other one went into greatness. And they say one of the things those who went into greatness was they didn't make excuses. They didn't say, well, if the legislation was more like this, then we could do something. They said, no, we've got the same game, same challenges, but I'm going to make this work. So I want to say to you, you can make it work wherever you are. Let's say it. I can make this work. Yes, you can. You can. You can be a student and begin chaos in the university, colleges, whatever, but you can make it work. You can rise up above it. Or you can make excuses and say, well, only if. No. The light of His glory, every problem is transformed into an opportunity. Amen. Come on. So allow the Lord to come and do this in you. Psalm 18:28, it says, for you will light my lamp. Let's read that together. It's a good scripture. For you will light my lamp. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. You light my lamp, exactly as I said. You put on that lamp, the Lord come and lights it. And He enlightens your darkness. He enlightens your negativity. He enlightens your complaining. We're saying, no. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me and you will see opportunities everywhere. Let's say it. I'm seeing opportunities. Amen. Yes. So what are you holding before you? Are you putting problems before you? Or how do you set the Lord before you? Or are you holding promises before you? That is one of the best ways. One of the ways of setting the Lord before you always is thanksgiving. Yes. But another way is take a promise, a scripture, a prophetic word. I often, when I get like down in the dumps, then I like take out my time for prophecies. Then I take out my prophecies. Lord, you said. Yeah, it doesn't look like it. But Lord, you said. I'm seeing an opportunity. No, I don't know how you're going to change this. No, I don't know how you're going to turn it. All I know is that you are God, and you are faithful, and you are powerful, and your word will stand, and every man will be found a liar. God, I believe. Let's say it. I believe in the promises of God. Amen. So instead of being hopeless, put the promise before you. God, you have said. Amen. So one of the ways of setting the Lord before you is hold the promises before you. And then one of the big, big traps of the enemy is when we are looking at problems and when we're looking at challenges, do you know what the enemy does? He comes and he points a finger. No, 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 no. You're the problem. You're the problem. That's why you've got a problem. If you were more, then there wouldn't be a problem. You're the problem. And so this is a massive scheme of the enemy that I want to expose. You know, you and I have no hope, no confidence when we put ourselves before us and we look at all the weaknesses. Why I am not good enough. Why I can't do this. Why I am the problem. And then a lot of shame comes with it because you are the problem. Don't fall for that trap. Let's say it, I'm not the problem. Because Jesus died for all your stuff. He has dealt with the problem. Any problem within you, sin, nature, and all your other stuff, Jesus died for your stuff on the cross. He died for you. He dealt with it. So when I hold myself before me, you know, when we look into our carnal nature, all we will see is darkness. When we look at our carnal stuff, all our stuff. No, put Christ before you, put his cross before you and saying, God, you've died for all my stuff. I refuse to look into myself. I refuse to allow accusations to steal my confidence and tell me I'm the problem. I refuse. No, I'm going to look at you. Jesus, I'm going to look at you. You are good. And you are big and you are massive and you can even work powerfully through me. You're not that special that you're the only one that Jesus can't work through. Over the ages, Jesus has worked through shocking people. Go look in the Bible. It's not about us. Let's say it is not about us. Now, this is good news. This is good news. It's not about us. It's about him. And the more we look into who he is, if we put the Lord before us always, you're going to have faith. You're going to have hope. You're going to have confidence. You're going to rise up. You're going to change your environment because he is good. Let's say it. God is good. And he loves you. Just set him before you. Don't put the problems before you and don't put self before you. And right now I expose every accusation of the devil against us, against you. We renounce that in Jesus' name. Let's say it, I renounce every accusation against me in Jesus' name. Amen. Feel that burden fall off your shoulders. It's terrible to look into the mirror every morning and to feel you're the problem. That's not a good space to be in. You're stuffed, okay? You're in trouble. You'll only see darkness. You will only see darkness. Put the Lord before you and you will see light. Amen. Okay, Jess, come and share with us your story. Let's give her a hand.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Jess. My husband and I, we've been coming to Shofar for the past 4 years, but this past year we haven't been attending as we should. So I'm going to start my story from the beginning of June this year. A friend of mine from Shofar invited me to the ladies' retreat weekend. All expenses paid for, I just had to come. So that in itself was a blessing from God, and yeah, I thank him for that. In July this year, I found out that I was pregnant. We had been trying for a while, and it was very exciting. And then in the week of the 18th of August, that week, I started to get some negative thoughts that maybe I had miscarried, or what happens if I could have. And I try to push the negative thoughts away and just try and be positive. And on the 18th of August, we went for our 11-week scan, and we found out that we had lost the baby in about 9 weeks. And it was, I think God was preparing me, but at the same time, it was still a lot of shock. And sitting there in the doctor's room, he knew that we didn't have a medical aid, so he offered us another treatment to pass the baby, because I had no other symptoms besides for my thoughts. And he offered us to go on tablets. He said this would be 90% success rate, that everything would pass out. So my husband and I, in that shock, we looked at each other, and we knew that our finances aren't that great, so we opted for the tablets. And the following week, I went back for a checkup. Everything wasn't clear, so I had to go back on more tablets. And yeah, from state of shock, I went into strength mode. Everybody asked me, how are you doing? And I was like, nope, I'm fine. God's got it. God's in control. He knows what's best for me. And I just put my trust in him and my faith in him. And everything cleared up. And it was the week before the ladies' retreat. I sat with my husband and I said to him, have I really mourned this loss? Because it is a loss. Have I dealt with it? Because I had been so strong. And the ladies' weekend, that was such an incredible experience. And it was just an opportunity for me to just let go and to cry and to deal with everything. Friday, Saturday morning, I just prayed that it would be a weekend of healing for me. And that environment with the ladies and the church family, it was so comforting knowing that I could cry and that I would get the support and prayer that I needed. And then on Saturday evening, there was a chance for people to share their testimonies. So I was like, this is great. I can listen to everybody's. And God started beating in my heart, and I knew that I had to stand up and share. And now this was about 2 weeks since I heard the news. So I stood up there, but something amazing happened when I did share. It was as if every single word was being released, and it had no hold over me. It was so liberating and freeing. And then after the ladies' weekend, I started bleeding again, so I went back to the doctor. And on the 8th of September, he booked me in for the DNC, so I ended up having to have it. And in the beginning of my story, I said that we financially weren't that great and we didn't have medical aid, but we do have a hospital plan. So our hospital plan covered most of it. We just had to pay 2,500 rand. So just before I was going into theatre, I got an SMS saying 2,500 rand had been deposited into my account by an anonymous person. So that is just all glory to God. He loves us so much. He knows us. He knows what we need at the right time. That was so amazing. And I was quite nervous going into theatre. I've never been into theatre or under anesthetic. But a lady came to pray for me, and it was, God's presence was just with us. And going out that day, I felt like it just closed this chapter. It marked the end of it. I was able now to move on and start going back to being normal and being healthy. And I don't think I would have had that perspective if I hadn't been on that ladies' weekend and been able to deal with the emotions. And then also, we decided to tell our family and friends that we were expecting. And I don't regret that decision, because they have been such a great support structure for us during this time. And and if it wasn't for being part of a church family and for that friend stepping out and inviting me that weekend, I don't think I'd be here and being victorious in God and his plans for my life. So I just give him the glory, and I thank him and thank everybody.
Wow, that's awesome. So I want to connect or add to her story in the sense that if you ask the question, how can we hold the Lord before us at all times? Yes, thanksgiving. Yes, the promises of God. Yes, not self, but Him. But also a faith-filled community. A faith-filled community. If we want to set the Lord before us, then we need to surround ourselves with faith-filled people. Have you ever been, like really, you've been positive about something, and then you spoke to someone, or someone spoke to you, and they were just so negative. And then suddenly you find yourself also now being negative. Who's experienced that? Yeah. And so that's how it works. You see, if I set the Lord before me and I'm filled with light and life, I'm going to release that light to others. But if someone has put darkness as their lamp, as their light, even if it's just in an area of their lives, they're going to spread that darkness. They're going to impart the darkness. It impacts us. It impacts our hearts. The people we spend time with influence us. And I think more than we want to sometimes admit. And it's not just about being Christian. There are a whole bunch of Christians that's super negative, you know? So you actually need to go and evaluate yourself. Am I surrounding myself with a faith-filled community? Or am I surrounding myself with a negative, breaking me down influence? So evaluate yourself. Ask yourself, what is the influence of the people that you're spending time with? And it's amazing how people that are negative find one another. It is like drawn to one another like magnets. I can sense someone else in that corner is also, let's go over there, you know? And it just doesn't help. It doesn't help because it spreads the negativity, spreads the darkness. So there's a scripture that speaks about we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. That's why our times of worship, praise and worship, is so powerful. Those declarations, it causes us to focus on who God is. So you're energized. Your faith is stirred. You can feel it. Song one, you're there. Song two, you're there. You're going, yes! At the end of the songs, we can take on the world. And it's more than hype. It's more than vibe. There's something that shifts in the atmosphere when we put together our proclamations and declarations on who God is. Now it says, we enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. So when you and I are filled with thanksgiving, and when thanksgiving is the beginning of praise. But through that we enter the gates of heaven. We enter His presence. When you're thankful, you can feel something's changing. You were negative, but now you're thankful. You're just focusing on all the good. Ah, thank you, God, for this. And oh, Lord, thank you for this. Thank you for this. And you can feel yourself moving into light. Huh? Okay, so through thanksgiving and praise, we enter His gates. Now, the next verse, verse 10, it says, "For you will not leave my soul in Sheol," that's hell, that's the place of the dead, "nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption." So, through thanksgiving and praise, we enter His gates. So, what gates do you and I enter through complaining and negativity and fault finding? What gates do we enter? It's not a trick question. I've set it up nicely there. The gates of hell. The gates of hell. You will find yourself going into darkness by complaining and negativity and fault finding. It's like your soul enters these different gates. And it's destructive. It is destructive. There's other things that comes with it. It's darkness on your soul, and it's releasing darkness into your environment. I was speaking to a guy recently in his department. He says, the guys are so negative. And he's really trying to be positive. But he says, it's like, and this is a really nice company. Like half of this country would long to work for this company. And these bunch of people who are getting good money are unbelievably negative. And it's like a cancer that's spreading to everybody. You see, it's not our circumstances that define our state of heart and mind. It is our state of heart and mind that actually define our circumstances, how we experience our circumstances. You can go test this. For the next week, complain about everything. Choose to focus on all the bad, all the negatives, and speak those stuff as well. And test yourself, end of the week, how much counseling you will need. But do not come to me. Do not come to me. I told you, I warned you, okay? So you're not allowed to come to me for counseling. This is like a group counseling session now. So you need to ask yourself this question. What gates do you want to enter? And you cannot do this passively. If you're passive, you're going to go the wrong route. It's only through focus and action, actively choosing to be positive and thankful, that you can enter the gates of heaven. So the real homework for this week is to be positive about something. You're in a conversation with the guys at work or at school or wherever you are, and you're having coffee, and everybody's like, yeah, 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 yeah. Then try this. Guys, I really think we should be thankful. At least we've got a job. That'd be awkward, eh? That'd be wonderfully awkward. But that's a good way to turn the thing around. But I want to challenge you this week, make a few people awkward. Choose to be different. Choose to stand out. Pity is always looking for a party. Choose to say no. No, I'm not gonna do pity party. I'm gonna be thankful. No, I'm not gonna allow darkness into my soul. And no, I'm not gonna allow your atmosphere to define my atmosphere. This side of eternity, there will always be issues. There will be problems, there will be challenges, because this world is cursed. There's gonna be stuff. But we can have heaven on earth if we get our focus right, our perspective right, and choose to be thankful and praise the living God. Set the Lord before you always. And in the midst of the challenges, you can overcome. Amen. Let's say it. I'm overcoming. Amen. I am overcoming. So it says there in that verse, for you will not leave my soul in Sheol, in hell, or the place of the dead, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. It's an Old Testament prophecy that speaks about Jesus. Jesus, the Son of God, who was in the grave until the third day. And he said, no, you will not leave my soul in the dead. Jesus was resurrected. And nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. So his physical body was, on the day of resurrection, was made alive, and he saw no corruption. So it speaks about Jesus, but I believe this speaks about us. We are God's holy ones. We are God's beloved. He does not want to leave us in the place of darkness. He does not want to leave us in the place of negativity and unbelief and hopelessness, because he knows the effect upon us and everybody around us. Amen. So he's not going to leave you there, nor will he allow you to see corruption. So he's coming to lift you out. He's coming. I saw a vision this morning of someone in a pit, a dark pit, and Jesus coming and lifting them up, pulling them out of the pit. So maybe there's an area of your life where you feel like you're in a pit. The Lord was pulling you out right now. Just change your perspective. Get your eyes on Jesus. Amen. So let's say it. I'm putting my eyes on Jesus. Amen. Okay, last testimony. Carl. Carl Deploy. Come, brother. He's never shared his story, and it's been really powerful this morning as well to hear his story. Carl and Nicole. Now, Carl is one of the most positive people I know. And, you know, and his story just speaks so powerfully to me of living a life of thanksgiving. Okay, let's give him a hand. Come on.
Hi, good evening, everyone. I'm Carl, like Andre just introduced. And yeah, tonight I just want to share a testimony that impacted my life and changed my life forever. It happened on the 14th of April, 2003. A good friend of mine that day phoned me, and he had some misfortune the previous day. And what happened is he asked me if I can just join him after work for a drink. So that stage already, my gut telling me, yo, stay away. I don't know what happened. But I already had plans, so I left it. And on 99, all those plans cancelled. And I phoned my friend and said, yes, I will join you. Where do I meet? So I went to his place, and I left my car at his place. We took his bucky. Now, I stayed on Paul. So that evening, we took his bantam bucky, and we ended up at the Paul Toll Monument. So it's a very big landmark, a very visual landmark in Paul. And, we ended up there that evening. So what happened is, at that stage of the evening, he was already very heavy influenced under the alcohol. So I told him, I said, hey, buddy, let me drive back. I'm still sober. So he very convincing in me and subatting me and saying, no, he's fine, he can drive. So I gave in and I let him drive back, me ending up back in the passenger side. So as we came down from the mountain, he lost control on gravel. And the accident happened. It happened so quickly. So as the bucky, it spun once, the tailgate hit the tree and it just flipped once and down a ditch. And that ditch was plus minus 10 meters, just one drop, and the bucky ended up on his roof. So what the accident happened right in front of someone's house. So I think it was a good thing. The mom and his son, they were like immediately on the scene. They were like coming out running, me and the bucky, my friend, he fell out. So what happened is I heard the mom and son talking, and she said to her son, please leave the boy in the bucky. He's dead. Let's just attend to this guy outside the bucky. Yes, and me hearing this, I was like going crazy. I lost it, and I'm screaming and shouting and just trying to get out of this bucky, and just no prevail. So I struggled, what happened is that as they cut me out of the bucky, they told me that my head was literally right under my right arm. So when I broke my neck, I torn all my vocal ligaments. Everything was off. So there was no way that this lady or anyone could have hurt me. I was a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home, but never really knowing or believing or even experiencing the power of prayer or even miracles. But laying in that bucky, I was just, I prayed loudly, no one heard me, but I prayed and prayed. And again, I heard this lady telling her son that I'm going to go and pray for this boy's soul. Again, yes, I was like, yo, I'm not dead, please. And as soon as she literally touched my hand, she told me and my parents, everyone, that she heard a clear, clear voice, as if someone was speaking on a loudspeaker. And what I rehearsed was I rehearsed my dad's name and cell phone number, but over and over and over again. It's like it was just like a tape, just running, because I was just like, really, someone must hit me now. And the lady, she just told me everything will be fine. The ambulance is on its way. You can relax now. Yes, she just set my heart at ease and everything. And at that stage, I passed out. I think that was also God's way, just giving me now rest, in a sense of, because they used the jaws of life to get me out of the buggy. So I think that also, that's very traumatic. So I'm very glad I didn't experience it. But when I arrived at the hospital and everything, it was just how God already worked that evening. He answered my prayers. He gave me a voice when already that's like, and he was already with the doctors and the ambulance people and everyone with that mom and son coming to the scene. So everything was just amazing. That evening already, we knew that I broke my neck at a C4, C5 break, and that I just the chances of ever walking again or having a normal life is almost zero. So, just want to get my space, sorry guys. Yeah. What happened is, God just provided again. He gave me such an awesome support system for that. My parents, my siblings, my pastor of my previous church as well, everyone was just there. They gave me so much love and everything. And I ended up 10 days in ICU on a respirator. And there's already the medicine stuff they gave me in. It made me so, so thirsty. So with this respirator in my mouth, these pipes, I couldn't really talk or anything. So when, funny story, but when I wanted just some water, but there's no way I could tell them, so I made like, so with these pipes in my mouth, and I make like, my parents and everyone coming to visit will give me kisses. And it was like later on, I was like, please, people, I don't want kisses. I just want water. So when they took out those pups, the first thing I told my dad, hey, thank you for all the kisses, but I just wanted water. It's still, again, it just showed it's humor and stuff, but it was. I was in hospital for 4.5 months. And my parents was every single day at hospital. My mom actually gave up her job. She worked for my dad at that stage. And she was from the morning when I started till the evening my parents arrived. She was every day there for 4.5 months. And I just, that's again God that just provided and helped, and that my dad's job went on. My mom worked for my dad. And he still went on. He was successful. So just that support was amazing. Going over my time again. Before the accident, I was really very active. I played first team hockey. I played ball club hockey. I was every day in the gym. When I had this accident, I lost all that. And it was like really devastating. I was like, I won't say I was depressed, but I was just in a bad space. But with the rehab and everything, it kept me very active. I was in rehab literally for 5 years, so I was like pushing my body. And in 2010 until 2013, I played rugby, wheelchair rugby for Border. I had to stop because of my shoulder strain. But again, God gave me again sport just to play. It was amazing, amazing time. Also fellowship with friends that's also in a wheelchair. People don't understand, but you can relate them to someone just deeper on that sense as well. So it was very nice just to have that as well. When I was in the hospital, I set goals for myself. That's whole life was just about goals as well. But in hospital also, I set myself goals just to keep myself motivated. What happened is the first goal was to get out of that place. I hate hospitals. It was just 4.5 months was like crazy. I think later on, I really, people don't think it, but I made the nurses and everyone, I gave them hell sometimes. But yes, so I wanted to get out of that place. Another goal was, like I said, with rehab and everything, the first day with rehab, I already had feeling, back feeling in my legs. So the doctors, everyone kept on saying it's ghost pains and it is phantoms. But I still believe that I will walk, even if it's with help or something. So that was a goal, just to be able to walk a little bit. And today I can say, testify, that I use a walking frame at home and I walk. It's not fast or anything, but it's walking. So, and it's also very good because blood circulation, everything with the walking up until today, 13 years in a chair, I've never had any pressure sores or nothing. And I personally think it is the walking because I keep on blood circulation in my feet and everything. So yeah, another big one was to drive again. It just gives you that motivation, that independency of being able to get yourself to somewhere and not always depend on someone. So that was a very lucky thing. I gave myself 3 years there and I actually started driving again in 2006. Another one was to get back to work. Like I said, I literally took off 5 years. 5 days a week, 3 days a week, I gymed for 2 hours in the mornings and 2 hours in the afternoons. I had a Biokinetic and we pushed it. We were in the swimming pool. I did the rowing machine. I did everything just to get my body back, get muscle back. Something I didn't even mention this morning. I weighed 65 before the accident. In the first week they weighed me, I've weighed 56. So it shows you how much muscle you lose of just that accident. It was like, it was crazy. So just to get back to what I was. Another goal was to get married. I set that one off. I wanted to get married before the age of 50. And in 2012, I actually got married at the age of 29. So it was like a shop again. So it was like, woo. another goal of myself, my wife and myself is we really want to have children someday. We are struggling at a bit. We're trying. But yeah, I'm very faithful and I believe God has a plan. It's like God's time is not our time. So I know it will happen. I'm very faithful. So yes, I've been now 13 years in this wheelchair, and it's really, yeah, it changed my life like very drastically. Just with the spinal break, it's very high. I lost all my lung muscles, so I only breathe through my diaphragm, through my tummy. So that was, I had to relearn that. That's not something they take out those pipes, I reach out like. It's like they teach you again to breathe. So that was very difficult. Also with the break, I lost all my bladder muscles, my bowel muscles, so that I have to empty my bladder on times. I have to check what I drink. If I have a beer, you will have to come visit me in the toilet because I will like, it's just the whole time. Stuff like that with my bowel as well. With spinal injuries, you have to have so much set routine again because of the break. But I'm positive and I give everything to the Lord and I have such a support system in my family and my wife and friends that's also in wheelchairs and normal friends. Sorry, it's such. But just to end off, I really want to thank God for saving my life that evening. It was, He really answered my prayers. He answered, and it's truly a miracle. Like I said, 10 meters, I went there afterwards. It was such a steep drop. So how I survived it, I don't know. but just by the grace of God. And really, for all the people supporting my family, my friends, my wife, the church that I'm in now, it's such a big, really such a big blessing. And then I just want to, life doesn't end if you're in a wheelchair. It just changed the way you live. And with the right attitude and God by your side, anything is possible.
No, thank you. That's amazing. So, guys, what are you complaining about? When I hear that, I'm like, get over yourself. You know? And just listening to how he trained 4 hours a day and just setting goals and saying, man, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and with the help of God. That's amazing. So what are you complaining about? Do you and I honestly have the right to complain about anything? No. We don't. If you're a Christian, if you're a Christian and you know the living God and your name is written in the book of life, and even if you die in this life, you will live on in eternity. I would love to see Jesus heal Carl in this life. It'd be epic to see him walk and run. But I know that even if he doesn't walk in this life, truly, I mean like run, he's going to run in heaven one day. It's going to be epic. As a Christian, we can never be hopeless. Because we have eternity. We have a God that says, I will be with you every day of your life. And even when you breathe your last, the angels of heaven will be there and they will lead you into the light for eternity. So let's get over ourselves and the so-called things that we feel sorry for ourselves. I promise you, not one of us have a legitimate reason to feel sorry for ourselves in the light of eternity and in the light of what Jesus has done for us. We have no right to do pity parties or excuses or anything like that. Let's say it, I'm getting over myself. Amen. Let's say it again, I'm getting over myself. Yes, come on. Last verse there, ending off with this. It says that you will show me the path of life. This is God. God, thank you that you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So I have this picture where I'm saying you will show me the path of life. It's like you're in the forest and you don't know which way is out. You're in this place of negativity, this darkness. You don't know which way is the way out into his presence. And he doesn't just set up a sign. Jesus himself comes to you. He shows you. Come on, I'm going to take you by the hand. Come, hey, over here. Let me walk with you. Yeah, that's the way out. Get thankful. Come on, hold my promises before you. No, don't focus on your own weaknesses and your issues. Get over your own stuff. No, look at me. Okay, come, follow. Come. Okay, now follow me. Come. He will show us the path of life. And so I want to release this over you tonight, whatever you're going through in any area of your life. Sometimes we've got good areas and sometimes we've got bad areas. Areas where we've lost hope. Areas that's like you're lost in the forest. You don't know which way out. I want to release this over you. Jesus is coming to you right now to lead you out, to show you the path of life. Amen. Show you the path of life. They say there are a few times in your life where you should not make a decision. Either when you're really, really down, don't make a decision because you make a stupid decision. Also, When you're really, really excited, do not make a decision because you're too excited. You're not thinking straight. And thirdly, when you're under massive pressure, don't make a decision until Jesus shows you the path, the way out, until you get to the place of peace and rest, clarity of mind, clarity of heart, and now you can know the way. So don't make decisions under those other circumstances. I've seen it so many times, people make decisions and it's a stuff up. They run away, they do weird, silly things because they're not in good space. Okay, so two things. Your homework for this week. To set the Lord before you through thanksgiving. To shut down negative discussions and complaining or walk away. Okay? Deal with the negativity by being thankful, setting the Lord before you. There are no problems, there are only opportunities. Okay? Amen. Can you do it? That's your homework. And your other homework is, and I felt it this morning, you need to evaluate the friends in your life. You need to evaluate the people in your life, specifically if they have a bad influence upon you, if they're negatively influencing you and pulling you down into negativity, darkness, and complaining, even if they're Christian. Make a decision. Make a decision. To say, no more. I'm no longer going to be a puppet of your negativity and your complaining. No longer allow you to pull me down. I'm going to surround myself with a community of faith. Amen. But this is our culture as a church, is an unstoppable, unquenchable, faith-filled environment. Negativity kills. Thanksgiving and praise lifts us up. Amen.